Luke 22, verse 47. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. A combination of majesty and mercy make up the strongest guard against treason. The position and power of a king usually strike terror in the hearts of his subjects, sufficient to deter treason. And when coupled with mercy, they can charm and stroke the soul with love such that it cannot be plotted against. And yet the best guard against treason is that which needs no defense, and that is innocence. However, Luke 22:47 records a treasonous act that not only breaks through that double guard of majesty and mercy, but even the protection of innocence itself. Judas, one of the Lord's personally chosen 12 apostles, betrays the perfect Christ to a band of soldiers who come to arrest him as if he were a thief or a murderer. A fair trial based on real evidence would have pronounced him a true and just man, one in whom not even prejudice itself could find fault. And yet, Judas, he is treacherous. Judas was a wicked traitor. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Proverbs 27:4. And yet, what could you, Judas, envy in Christ? His glory, his purse, and his power were all yours. He even caused the demons to be obedient to you. Did you not cast out devils in his name? And now you take the devil into your own heart and cast out Christ. Judas, you once left all to follow him, and now you leave him to follow the worst of all you had formerly left. You dipped your hand in the same dish of fellowship with him. You followed him as master and carried his bag, and yet you now carry those 30 pieces of silver, your new master, in the bag. After walking and working alongside the Son of God day after day for years, seeing his miracles and hearing his teaching, how could you possibly decide that a bag of coins was worth trading for him? Yet you sold Christ to the Jews and yourself to the devil in the bargain. You sold this master that you betrayed to his death when he came to give himself for your life. You betrayed him to his enemies for your own personal gain when he came to purchase you with his own blood. It is as if you chose to sell an invaluable pearl, one which the wise merchant sold all he had to buy, for some useless triviality. This makes your treachery folly, your gain loss, your greediness unthrifty. How useless is your money without your master? And how soon does it lose its luster? Can it buy another master like Christ? Can it buy you an hour's sleep? Can it bribe your clamorous tongue of conscience to observe one moment of silence? No, it is more than empty promises to your present misery and the beginnings of greater tortures. It is all quicksilver. It will not stay, it will not enrich. It buys nothing but fields of blood and confusion. Judas did not so much betray his first master, Jesus, as his second master, money, betrayed him. Judas betrayed Christ into the hands of malice, but betrayed Judas into the halter of despair and the rope of death. How could this have happened? Although Judas had just had his feet washed by the Lord in the upper room, he did not allow Christ to wash his hands and his heart in blood. And while a greeting is in his mouth and a kiss on his lips, a hell of treason resides in his heart. God may allow hypocrisy to go on at length to fool the hypocrite into a false hope that he is not only deceiving others, but God as well. Have we not taught in our streets, and have we not in your name done miracles and cast out devils? This will be the hypocrite's plea in the day of judgment, to see if he might possibly deceive God, as he does men. But like Judas, at his end, such a person is shown to be a fool. God cannot be blinded with guile or bribed with gifts. His throne is in heaven, but his theater is in the heart, where he may be sometimes unseen, but never unseeing. What an infinitely great price Christ paid for poor wretched souls that was hardly worth sweeping for, a mite scarcely worth casting into his treasury. And yet he paid for such souls with his inestimable self. He ransomed them with the price of his blood, they who are the treasury itself. In this way, they can truly say we are bought with a great price. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. The aftermath of Judas's betrayal of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane may be the saddest series of events ever recorded in Scripture. The narrative unfolds in Matthew 27, 1-5. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. We are told in Luke 22, verse 3, that this whole plan to betray the master began when Satan entered Judas. But once he gets what he wants from him, how quickly the devil casts him off for nothing. And as soon as Satan's mission was accomplished and Judas was struck with the reality of what he had done, it was more than he could bear, the devil leaves him and Judas goes to hang himself, which in turn leads him to his own place. In general, the term betray in Scripture means to deliver one up to the authorities. But Judas's betrayal of Christ was much more than a simple delivering him over to the religious and governmental authorities of the day. It was treacherous. Treasonous. It was a treasonous act of one who used his intimate relationship with Jesus, chosen as one of the 12 apostles by the Lord himself for his selfish gain. Judas was a spiritual traitor. Further, he knew the master was innocent. And finally, he did what he did under the cover of darkness and the pretense of affection and friendship. A friendly greeting accompanied by a kiss. Desperately wicked. Judas's life is the perfect demonstration of what the prophet is describing in Jeremiah 17:9 about the condition of every and each one of us. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Judas lived and walked and listened to and watched the master daily for 3 years. His best friends were John and Peter, Matthew, Thomas, Luke, and James. Besides, Jesus wasn't the only one performing miracles or casting out devils. Christ empowered his own to do likewise, so of course Judas was among them. We may find ourselves asking, how then, after all this, could Judas possibly find it in his heart to betray the master? What betrayal? Judas's heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And our hearts are no different. Without the transformational power of the gospel of God and the Holy Spirit working in us for salvation, we are all capable of doing exactly what Judas did. Our betrayal of Christ would take place in a different context, a more sophisticated social climate, and may not appear at first glance to be as blatant. But God sees it all as the same. And the cost of betrayal is also the same. A bitter end and an eternity of torment forever separated from God and everything good. What would be the sense of all his loss? It's just sad to consider. Judas will see his fellow apostles on their seats, judging the 12 tribes of Israel at the end. And himself among his now fellow devils. He will tremble at the judgment seat when he hears his master, who once so kindly gave him bread to dip in his own bowl and washed his feet, now giving him his sentence to be bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness. He will there see those devils which before he had power to cast out, now to have power to cast him into endless torments. Judas may have eaten the bread that Jesus broke, not communion, but shared with his apostles at the Last Supper meal. But he never tasted the bread of life or drank the living water that was available to him on a daily basis. His Christianity, his apostleship, was in word only and not in the truth. He successfully fooled others as to his nature and purposes, even the other apostles. Did they not ask, "Is it I?" He may have even fooled himself into thinking he would have options to repent after the fact. But he certainly never fooled the Lord. Jesus himself said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He said that in John 6. The cost of betrayal is too high to take lightly. This is why we must guard our hearts with all diligence, Proverbs 4:23, and work to ensure that we maintain a personal, thriving relationship with the Lord so we never have to pay that price. We are to inquire to the Lord how we may be betraying him in our day-in, day-out life. How our unloving desires betray him. Let us consider it. Amen.